The following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise on Wednesday, February 24th, 2016 at 11 a.m. Central. Elementia conference call. Good morning. My name is Josh and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. The question and answer session of the call, which will be conducted via telephone, will initiate after the speakers finalize their presentation. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Maria Verona of iAdvise. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the fourth quarter 15 and full year results conference call for Elementia. Joining us today from the company's management team are Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jacques, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rafael Lira, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Investor Relations Officer. The gentlemen will be discussing the company's performance for the period prior to the Q&A session with the audience later on in the call. I just want to briefly mention that management's comments made today will be based on the earnings release that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the earnings release, please take a look at Elementia's website where it has been posted. Please note that comments made today may include forward-looking statements that are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the disclaimer in the earnings release for a more detailed and full disclaimer. At this point, Mr. Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Investor Relations Officer of Elementia, will begin the conference. Juan Francisco, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Maria, and good day to everyone. We are pleased to be here and discuss the company's performance. Before we begin, and for those of you not familiar with our company, Elementia is a unique building materials platform with a comprehensive product portfolio, leading brand, and extensive distribution network through which we have successfully integrated our three divisions. These divisions are Femen, Building Systems, and Metal Doors. As such, our goal is to be a one-stop vendor. For Elementia, 2015 has certainly been a year of many achievements, not only in financial terms, but also in the implementation of the overall strategy, which we call Power of One. In summary, we strengthened our position as one company by bringing together all the acquisitions, all geographies, and all three divisions into one culture and one common goal, supported by centralized back-office services with a strong financial discipline and focus on profitability. We have made significant progress in terms of aligning commercial activities into one platform, and thus increased cross-selling through the company divisions. This led us to reach 35% of total Mexican revenues from cross-selling. The figures that we will discuss today reflect the alignment of all efforts into one strategy, focusing on building materials, the self-construction market segment across the Latin American countries where we are present, innovation into value-added growth, and efficiency in production processes. Today, Elementia is strategically positioned in attractive markets with high growth potential and four countries with strong and resilient macroeconomic fundamentals, which spans nine countries throughout the Americas, including the U.S., Mexico, Colombia, and Peru. We also continue our one commitment to shareholders by generating value to the environment by being responsible and minimizing our environmental footprint, and to the communities where we are present by helping improve quality of life. It's also important to highlight that all figures discussed today are in Mexican pesos unless otherwise stated, and our comparisons are done versus the same period of last year. Thank you for your attention. At this point, I would like to ask Mr. Fernando Ruiz, our CEO, to discuss Elementia's performance for the quarter and full year 2015.
Thank you. Thank you, Juan Francisco, and to everyone, a very warm thank you for your time and interest in our company. Going straight into the company's performance, we have quite a few topics to cover, but I want to particularly stress a few main points that we consider key for this period under discussion. First, I would like to state that we are quite happy with the results for the fourth quarter and full year. While there was significant volatility and strong competition in the markets that we operate in, we were still able to achieve double-digit growth in both consolidated and division figures. Second, the performance at each of the divisions was in line with our growth objective of incremental profitability. And let me expand on this further. Considering figures for the full year 2015, and starting with the metal parts division, where the company exceeded expectations with 14% EBITDA growth. This was attributed to cost-cutting initiatives as well as a focus on value-added products and inventory hedging. We were also able to improve EBITDA margins in the cement division and reach EBITDA growth of 65% through better capacity utilization and improved mix of products and energy optimization initiatives along with lower energy costs. And in the building system division, with 13% revenue growth, we continue increasing volume sold in the U.S. at a faster rate than the actual market growth. Third, we strengthened the balance sheet in accordance with the financial discipline we employed. Evidence of this was the 1.76 net debt to EBITDA ratio that we reached by year end. We also generated strong cash flow before capex at 86% of EBITDA, which enabled us to continue the Tula facility expansion project, pay down the Cebur, and prepay a $650 million loan due in 2018. Fourth, we executed the second and final payment to Lafarge for the 47% stake of Cemento Fortaleza. And fifth and last but not least, we continue with our expansion strategy, mainly the cement division, which we expect to be fully operational by mid-2017. All this was achieved in the middle of a challenging macroeconomic conditions. We witnessed certain volatility, among which is worth mentioning China's deepening economic deceleration, exchange rate volatility of several emerging markets, the flight to quality trend in the capital markets, as well as a certain decline in commodity prices. The company's stock strengthened to a high of 22.96 pesos per share on December 31st, 2015, a new historical high for the company. Also in December, Elementia was included in the Morgan Stanley Mid-Cap Index, which was perhaps behind the rally that we saw in December and has somewhat stabilized during the first quarter to an average price of 21.41 pesos per share, which means a profit of close to 26% from IPO. Going back to the company's fundamentals, allow me to walk you through the performance and expectations of each division after the fourth quarter results. Beginning with the cement division, which contributed the most in terms of consolidated growth, we witnessed strong demand, especially in central Mexico, and we saw the fruits of cost optimization and improved product mix and higher capacity utilization rates. As a result, EBITDA increased 54% during the quarter and 65% annually. The Tula project in Hidalgo that I just mentioned remains on schedule. We expect that operations will be able to start up by mid-2017 according to the original plan. So far, there has been no delays or incidents that would hamper the successful progress of this capacity expansion. As we mentioned in the past, following the completion of the project in 2017, we would have a total capacity of 3.5 million tons per year. We believe that the main market conditions in Mexico are solid enough to enable us to continue with the current price trend, given that demand remains strong in the country, and particularly in the central region that is our area of influence. The expected 2016 growth in volume terms will be much more moderate. Nevertheless, it is important to highlight that demand continues to rise as remittances from the U.S. make their way into improvements and renovations in the self-construction sector, along with the continued strong construction activity in shopping malls and office buildings. Moving now to the metal product division, 2015 has been a key year for this division in terms of growth. Specifically, the metal division benefited from a better product portfolio mix. For example, we are seeking to be most focused on marketing products under the equity brand, Nacobre, which includes home improvement products such as kitchen and bathroom faucets, connections, bathroom accessories such as shower heads, and other home improvements. And this generates, of course, a much higher margins for Elementia. Also, benefiting the metal division were cost-cutting initiatives, including overall metal yields, and a positive exchange rate impact to a higher dollar value, given that this division is managed in U.S. dollars, which contributed into achieving a 14% EBITDA growth in a yearly basis, despite the 3% decrease in the quarter. In the building system division, during 2015, we began several investments that we expect will deliver additional profitability and shall be key in driving margin expansion throughout 2016. Already, there are activities in place that are very productive, such as the automatization of the Costa Rican and Salvador operations, as well as the expansion of the Peruvian facility. The division continues strengthening its U.S. market share, which is one of our main goals for sustained future growth. Furthermore, and worth mentioning, is that the building systems division was affected by the exchange rate differences, which had a negative impact on Colombia and other markets in Latin American countries, given the currency devaluation versus the Mexican peso, which Rafael will discuss further. As such, the EBITDA decreased of 26% in the quarter and 4% annually. However, on a positive note, and as I just stated, the higher cost for investments made, as well as the learning curve for the cost of the Costa Rican and El Salvador automatization, were offset this quarter by synergies achieved throughout the division. Part of this was a result of our own internal adjustments to rectify any challenges within the division, but we went a step further to strengthen the division's performance. And in January 2016, we hired BCG, the Boston Consulting Group, to perform an analysis and support us in maximizing the enormous potential of the operations of this division. We have been very satisfied with all the adjustments we have made as a result of this analysis. I want to mention that there are several macroeconomic variables also working in our favor and that we expect can benefit the company in the long run. In the U.S., for example, construction spending is expected to continue its trend, which gives us reason to remain optimistic in this market as we move forward. In Mexico, we're seeing a much lower dependency on oil than ever before. According to the latest GEA statistics, over 60% of external revenue from abroad is derived from non-petroleum. Domestic and foreign investment in the country continues to be strong, highlighted by the construction sector. Elementia wants to be at the center of that, investing in the country and committed to its development. Therefore, we are encouraged by the environment, and we will continue to focus on investing in our businesses in Mexico and specifically in cement. Before I conclude my part of the presentation and turn the call over to Rafael, I just want to mention that Elementia is committed to delivering the results as per the best of our ability. aiming to develop more agile and efficient practices across all of our operations. For this objective, we have a clearly defined strategy and seek to maximize all opportunities to continue profitable and responsible growth. At the same time, we are paying close attention to our capital allocation based on return over invested capital and a strong balance sheet supported by our financial discipline. In 2016, specifically, we aim to focus on continuing the operating efficiency objectives as well as seek metal yield improvement initiatives that will continue fostering margin expansion. Therefore, we are focused not only on growth per se, but we're seeking profitability on return on investment capital. Thank you very much for your attention, and I will turn the call now over to Rafael Lira. Rafael, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you all for being here with us today. Moving on the balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents reached $3.1 billion as a result of the IPO and the pay down of Segur. The Segur payment utilized approximately $2.3 billion of net cash, including hedging costs and in addition to the exchange rate impact on the senior unsecured notes. Gross debt decreased 19%, net debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.76 times, and interest coverage was 4 times within the covenant set by the financial institutions. In 2016, we expect to increase net debt marginally, as we will take in a 10-year $150 million through an export credit agency via COFAP, taking advantage of the expansion of cement capacity, the very competitive interest rate, which all in is less than 1.5%. Considering this debt position and the expected CapEx for the year, the net debt to EBITDA ratio will be a little above 2 times. Free cash flow before CapEx reached $2.6 billion. Elementia is long in dollars since it has a strong dollar generation, from which 60% of cash flow is on a dollar basis, and the cash position is 50% in dollars. The company has a natural partial hedging. However, we continue to evaluate hedging scenarios for dollar-denominated debt. The company focused on maximizing cash flow via working capital optimization, focusing on SKU of products that we have the highest growth and revenue generation. Additionally, we have started to optimize the company's portfolio of clients and improve the value change process. With regards to CapEx and considering the volatility of the global economy, we strengthened our financial discipline, and thus we will invest only in what we consider to be top priority. We will be focusing also on items that will generate higher returns without overlooking maintenance. We believe that this will minimize the possibility of the company having hampered cash flow as a result of economic change. As such, the CapEx program is reviewed consistently on a quarterly basis in order to be able to quickly adjust according to market changes and company's cash position as well as operating performance. Moreover, we roll out a committed revolving credit line by increasing it to $500 million from $300 million, extending its maturity date 2 additional years to 2020, and reducing interest rate spread to 175 basis points from 250 basis points. This will allow greater flexibility for funding new operations under more favorable terms. Consolidated shareholders' equity reached $15.9 billion, driven by the IPO and currency exchange impact from operations, from foreign operations. As Fernando mentioned, we plan on continuing the trend of providing healthy financial results We see many opportunities in 2016, including the potential divestment of idle assets, expense control, increased cash flow generation, capital allocation focus, including the improvement of return on capital, and a clear CapEx plan to achieve the growth strategy for our operations. In addition, we will have a more cautious approach in investment in order to allocate resources in the best possible market. Now moving on the profit and loss statement, consolidated revenues increased 5% quarterly or 11% annually, driven by the cement division. In terms of geographic footprint, most of the revenues are in the more solid economies, with 76% of the consolidated revenues from Mexico and the U.S., 17% in South America, 6% in Central America, and the remaining 1% in other countries. Accumulated EBITDA rose 12%, reaching $3 billion in 2015, with an EBITDA margin of 18% in terms of divisions. Cement represents 31%, metal products 33%, and building systems 36%. In addition, net income was $12 million, a decline of $517 million due to the exchange rate impact on the debt position in U.S. dollars. Now moving along with the operating results by division, the cement division performed in line with management expectations. Revenues totaled $653 million in the fourth quarter 2015 and $2.4 billion in 2015, an increase of 35% quarterly and 36% annually, benefiting from a 10% volume increase in the quarter and 20% in the year, along with 22% price increase in the quarter and 13% for the full year. Finally, EBITDA increased 54% quarterly and 65% annually, also benefited from operational and energy optimization, which really offset extraordinary rise in raw materials inventory from the expected strong demand and pricing volatility. The management focus for the metal product divisions, as we have mentioned, is in the generation of EBITDA per ton, as revenue prices are affected by the international reference pricing. While international reference price declined close to 20% in 2015, net sales, however, increased 4%, reaching $7.5 billion. This was mainly due to a better product mix in line with the focus on higher value products, a 5% volume increase, and the impact of foreign exchange. EBITDA increased 14% annually, additionally driven quite a bit by the various cost-cutting initiatives in place. During the quarter, we executed an inventory revaluation that impacted EBITDA by close to $1.2 million as a result of an accelerated reference price decline. As such, a hedging strategy was implemented in December with 1,000 tons. The results were so positive that we increased the amount to 2,000 tons, thus covering two-thirds of our total consumption. This was in order to protect the company against potential negative effects on inventory volume. The hedging strategy is based on a model of buying futures on a daily basis, not long-term, that considers monthly copper consumption in order to have inventory value at average daily purchase price. This, so what we can minimize an inventory revaluation impact in the case of fast copper price decline. In the event that copper price rise, we can just stop the mechanism and continue normal operations, which might translate into a positive effect on inventory revaluation. It is important to mention that this strategy was born from the Macobre's operations client, These clients place most of their orders within the last week of each month. Since copper price moved out through the entire month, the impact of the cost of sales and the inventory values affects the company's P&L. However, by placing positions in the futures market on a daily rate, as I just mentioned, we were able to average our inventory costs and not have a sudden impact at the end of the month. It is important to mention that the inventory increases were the result of the overstock that our Nacobre plans to implement in order to supply demand for the following year. Finally, the Building System Division reached revenues of $1.7 billion in fourth quarter 15 and $6.9 billion in 2015. This represents an increase of 10% quarterly and 13% annually. While volume continues to grow in the U.S. and South America countries, however, in Mexico, we face a 47% volume decrease due to special volume we sold in the fourth quarter 15 to a government project, and in Central America, due to the learning curve of the automatization of Costa Rica and the rest of the on the operation in Central America. This leads to an overall 7% decrease for the quarter volume and 4% volume increase for the full year. In the quarter, we had some non-recurring issues that impacted the operating profit of the division, and was among which are the longer than expected learning curve of Costa Rica's automatization, the impact of Colombia's peso devaluation versus the Mexican peso for consolidation purposes, the impact of provisions related to write-off of the Indiana facility from discontinued operation, according to IFRS. In 2015, EBITDA totaled $1.1 billion. The U.S. operation EBITDA margin continues its trend of recovery from coming from underperforming figures. This concludes our presentation. Thank you for your attention, and I'm going to turn the call back to the operator for Q&A.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star two. Again, to ask a question, please press star one now. Our first question will come from Vanessa Quiroga from Credit Suisse.
Hello. Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My question is regarding the cement business in specific. We wanted to know your expectations for cement demand in 2016. And whether you think the environment will be favorable for pricing during the year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. This is Fernando. Thank you for the question. We are very optimistic for this division. We clearly see a strong market based on strong internal consumption. As we said before in our presentation, the great remittances that we have from the U.S. to Mexico, along with strong private investment in infrastructure in Mexico, are fostering the construction industry. We all know that government spending is being decreased, so in infrastructure we do not see a great performance. But in the market that we are targeted to, which is the soft construction market, we are very optimistic. We began the year with the right foot. I mean, we have been talking to our clients. We have been very close to them, and we see that there is a very interesting tendency of growth for this year.
Regarding your second question, regarding the price, we also began very nice the year. We were able to increase our prices, and we feel that this tendency will continue at least for the first semester.
Okay, would you be able to provide a range of growth that you expect in volumes for 2016?
Well, hello, Vanessa, this is Juan Francisco. As you know, we have reached full capacity utilization in 2016, so the incremental volume that we will see in 2016 is not that much, and it is mainly driven by comparison. We reach full capacity in the last month of the second quarter, so during the first half of the year, we will have better volume than last year. In the second half, it might be a little bit lesser, but since we will start some operations before the opening of the tool expansion, that will be the driver for volume expansion. Nevertheless, it will not be as high as it was this year, of course.
Do you expect to be able to open the grinding facility before the clinker plant?
Yes, that is correct. It's on that's the plan, and we're working on that.
Okay, and regarding pricing, on the price increase that you mentioned, when was that announced to your clients, and what was the amount? Thanks.
As you know, we don't set the price, but of course we follow closely the price trends of the market, and we are always pushing price increase. We believe that the market is in its way to regain value, and thus we move along that. So the price increase that Fernando mentioned is a small one, and it was achieved during the first month in January, at the end of January, along with the full industry.
Okay. Can I make a question just on that building system segment? Can you tell us how much of the volumes in Mexico went to social programs related to rural housing, and whether you expect that to be constant in 2016? Thank you.
Okay, so basically I would say that one-third of the volume of last year's sales went to those kinds of programs. Our expectation is to maintain that same volume for this year. As I said before, there is this government spending, but as far as we have talked to many government agencies, the programs which foster this kind of investments are in place. They will keep the same budget, so we feel confident that we will keep the same that we will obtain the same balance for this year.
Okay,
in
great.
Mexico.
Thank you. Yes, of mm-hmm. course. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lillian Stark from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask on the fiber cement business, if you could provide us a bit more of color in terms of the U.S. market. How are you doing in terms of market share and profitability? I know that volumes declined in the quarter and margins as well declined, but what was sort of the improvement or what was sort of a clearer picture of what's been happening in the U.S.?
I mean, the noise was not that good, so I'm not sure if we are getting your question right. Can you please repeat it?
Yes, so I wanted to ask from the fiber cement business if you could provide a little bit more color in terms of what's happening in the U.S. whether you're seeing market share gains and what was the volume growth there. And as well, I know that for the whole division, margins contracted quarter on quarter, but if you could provide us a little bit more detail into whether there was a profitability improvement in the U.S. operation on a standalone basis.
Well, for indigenous reasons, we cannot say too much about the U.S. market. Nevertheless, what I can tell you is we have been growing at a faster rate than what the market has been growing. As you know, the market growth is pretty much linked to housing starts and the housing starts index, and that can give you a good idea of what I'm talking about. We believe that the kind of deceleration that January figures show is just just a valley, but we believe that the trend will continue for the rest of the year. A positive trend, of course.
Okay, and in terms of a margin, are you seeing an improvement in the U.S. or what is a similar margin that what you saw last quarter? Just have a sense of how much of the contraction quarter on quarter is recurring versus non-recurring, let's say.
Okay. The for the total year, the EBITDA margin remains in a little bit higher than the 10% that we have seen. It's proven to be challenging to increase this market share, not having achieved the full capacity utilization rate. So as long as we continue increasing the capacity utilization, we will continue to increase this EBITDA margin. If I understood your question correctly.
Yes, that's fine. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez from Santander.
Hi, how are you? Just
fine,
to follow
you,
up on... Good. To follow up on the building system division, first, you mentioned in the report the lower margin coming from the U.S. Just, again, trying to understand what's the main reason behind that and if it's going to be a one-off or something sustainable going forward. What are we talking about? Is it, I don't know, a 12% EBITDA level or is it below that? That's the first question. And then the second one, regarding the ramp-up robotization in Central America, how long would it last? Should we see dropping volumes from the region during the first half of this year, or is it almost done? Is it almost already ramped up? Those are my questions. Thanks.
Okay. Well, hi, Cecilia. Hi, Lira. Yes, we have special non-recurring issues, as I mentioned, affected profits on the division for around $120 million, among which the longer than expected learning curve that generates additional expenses, the impact of the U.S. dollar that affects conversion rate into expenses, and the impact of provisions related to write-off of the Indiana facility from discontinued operations according to IFRS, because we have the operation in that line during more than 1 year, and we cannot sustain for more than 1 year, so we have to reclassify to the expenses and what was impacted in this quarter. And expenses, one-time expenses of right-sizing of the operations, because we are very focused on the generation of synergies and efficiencies in the operations, and advertising expenses. This was the most important for the quarter.
So your second question, Cecilia, this is from Francisco. We have concluded the learning course of the automatization of the process in Central America. So we are very confident that within the first quarter, we will begin to see the improvement on the operations of the region. It took longer than what we expected, but we are very confident that it was the right decision, the right choice, and the right time to do things.
What I can tell you, Cecilia, is that in January we saw a strong improvement in operational efficiency, both in Costa Rica as well as in El Salvador. So yes, as Juan Francisco was saying, it took us longer than we expected this learning curve, but we are on track, and we are ready to harvest what we planted on the last couple of months.
Okay, thanks. If I may, one more question regarding the cement edition. You're growing above the market, and I just would like to see if you could give us some color. Where is it where you're growing the most? Is it because you're growing with the market, or are you specifically taking market share from other competitors? You don't have to say whom. But basically, are you starting new points, or are you taking already existing volumes from someone else, basically? Thanks.
Thank you, Cecilia. Well, as you know, we started the operation of cement in mid-13, and as we mentioned, we completed a ramp-up in the second quarter of 2015. So during that time frame, yes, we did gain market share. From then on, we have little room to grow faster than the market. In fact, little room to grow at all in volume just because we are sold out. So we will kind of decelerate our market penetration in this time frame until we begin with the greenfield operations. From then on, we will continue kind of with our market share. And of course, once we start the new facility, and according to market dynamics, we believe that we will be increasing slightly our market share to allocate volume. But in a, let's say, lower rate than in the beginning, because we will be catching up with the market growth.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question will come from Pablo Recalde from Credit Suisse.
Kai, thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is regarding your CapEx guidance for this year. And the second one is regarding your pricing strategy in the U.S. after James Hardie announced that you are not raising prices in 2016.
The CapEx for this year, you can consider that we will invest $150 million in the cement expansion and a regular CapEx of around $50 million. It is very important to consider that the company, it's very, very, it's very careful in the allocation of capital, because we are very, very, very cautious in terms of the, we understand that the volatility of the market, and we have review of our capital expenditures on a quarterly basis. So the amount that we have considered for our plan at this moment is just the expansion in cement and the regular capex that will be in the range of $50 million.
Okay, and regarding your second question, Andrew, as I was telling you before, we are just finishing this analysis with the BCG, with the Boston Consulting Group, where we have identified many growth opportunities and many very interesting quick wins. So I, for specific reasons, I would not like to disclose them, but what I can tell you is that we have identified many, many white spaces, and we have identified many opportunities that I'm sure will translate in good news in the close future. No?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrew DeLuca from Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I had a few questions specifically regarding new market opportunities and entering into new businesses. Are you seeing any interesting opportunities either in Mexico or abroad, whether it be in cement or any other lines of business, or is that pretty much off the table at least through 2016 until you finish the cement business expansion?
Okay, so
thank you, Andrew, for your question. As we've mentioned, the strategy, the overall strategy of the company is focusing on building materials. So we are, and we will remain focused on that. Then, of course, the 3D features are cement, building systems, and metal products. What we are aiming to grow faster is cement, where we see a lot of opportunities. Also, as Fernando mentioned, we see a lot of opportunities in building systems. And we would like to give preference for, more preference for countries in which we already have operations.
Great. Thank you. And then just a question on working capital. Can you just give us a little bit of color on what you're expecting in terms of working capital for 2016, since that was a little bit of a drag in 2015?
Well, in terms of working capital, we know that we have opportunities to reduce the level of inventory. The level that we see at this moment is because we have to increase the level of inventories in metals to attend the demand that we have during the first 2 months of the year. Additionally, we acquire around $5 million of raw materials, imported raw materials, to fix the cost in dollar terms, but we will reduce the level of inventory and accelerate the recovery of our accounts receivables that we have in the year end. So we don't see the additional requirements on CapEx or additional requirements of resources in working capital.
Okay, great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. We now have a question from John Brandt from HSBC.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just a question on prices. I understand what you're alluding to in the sense that cement demand continues to be strong in your segment, but I'm wondering if the cement demand that we're seeing from within the infrastructure segment because of the government budget cuts, will some of your competitors move cement capacity and cement volumes away from there and start competing more in your segments? And I guess ultimately what I'm trying to understand is on cement prices, if this is sort of the peak levels, given the slowdown that we're seeing in the infrastructure segment, as well as the additional capacity that is expected to come on over the next couple of years. Is demand strong enough within sort of the private sector to absorb a lot of the capacity that's coming on, as well as the capacity that used to go to the infrastructure segment? Thanks.
Okay, John, the prices, the cement prices in Mexico, if you are to compare them versus other countries, are still, I would say, the lowest in Latin America, and they are even lower than in the U.S. So we are expecting that this trend will continue in the near future. As you saw, there was a price increase, an interesting price increase last year, and as I told you, this year we began also with a price increase, and we from what we have seen in the market and the demand that we are looking into the market, we see at least that this tendency will continue at least the two first quarters of this year. I cannot tell you further in the third or fourth quarter, but at least for the first semester, we feel confident that there will be this tendency.
Okay, so is it fair to say that you'd expect a further price increase in the first half, or just the first one in January will be fully implemented?
We believe that it is quite possible that we will see further price increases during the first half. Probably the difficult question is to what extent. Nevertheless, as Fernando mentioned, the market needs to recover value, and the conditions are quite good. The demand is still very strong from overall the market segment. In particular, the focus that we have in sub-construction is very strong, and also the heavy construction that we see in office buildings, shopping malls, etc. And given that the budget cutting of the government for projects did not affect infrastructure, we are confident that the project, most of all, the airport project, will go on.
So what I can tell you, John, is that, as I said before, we see a strong demand, a consumption demand. And it's based on this, what we read between lines here is that based on these worldwide macroeconomic conditions, we are seeing that people are more interested in investing in bricks than in other things. So this tendency has been for the last semester, and that is what we're looking at for this first semester. We have been, as I told you, very close to all our distribution chain in cement, in metal, as well as in building materials, and they all conclude the same.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the Q&A session. I'll now turn the call back over to Mr. Fernando Ruiz-Yac for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. And before concluding the conference, I'd like to reiterate the fact that we believe that we are on the right track. We are confident that the decisions we have made to make us a more profitable company and the decisions we are taking every day to improve the overall businesses are the right ones and bring us ever closer to our objective each day. Our growth strategy is driving us to make these decisions. Elementia has clear objectives as well as a solid growth strategy. We are confident that we are heading towards the ultimate fulfillment of the strategy, and the checks and balances that we have in place are keeping us aligned with this strategy. I speak on behalf of this entire management team when I say that we will continue to focus on profitability first and growth second. We realize that growing for the sake of being bigger is not an entirely sound business decision. We aim to maintain the conservative leverage policy and strong balance sheet that has made us successful in the first place. So thank you. Operator, we are ready to proceed to the question. To the final conference call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.